Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily and sometimes more than daily politics podcast. I'm John Connolly and I'm joined today by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. Now, if you're listening closely during this podcast, at certain points I think you'll probably hear the overhead whir of helicopters, which can only mean one thing, that Donald Trump is in town and already he's having an impact on the election. He said, asked if the NHS was for sale, he said, I wouldn't have it even if it was served up on a silver platter, roughly. Before we move on to Trump's NHS comments specifically, James, are we going to expect many more of these interventions for Trump's visit, do you think?
I think the Tory campaign is effectively kind of paused until the end of a NATO summit on Thursday. And I think they are sitting kind of watching from behind the sofa to see what Donald Trump says. You know, there is nothing more that Jeremy Corbyn would like than to turn this election into a question of whose side are you on, Donald Trump or Jeremy Corbyn's, because that is that rare thing, a popularity contest that Jeremy Corbyn can win. You saw yesterday, you know, the Jeremy Corbyn letter to Donald Trump demanding that he give him certain assurances about a future US-UK trade deal and what would happen to drug prices and the NHS in that. So I think you'll see Corbyn going out of his way to try and pick a fight with Trump this week. Today, and with Donald Trump, you know, you can send a tweet in seconds, so nothing should be taken for granted. But in today's press conference, I think he relatively behaved himself. He said he has no views on the UK election, slightly contradicted that by saying that he thought Boris Johnson was doing a great job. But I think most importantly, from a Tory point of view, he was kind of very clear that, you know, he's not interested in the NHS and this trade deal. And I don't think that's going to kill the story, because Labour are going to carry on running with it come what may. But I think it just makes it slightly harder for Labour to get the cut through and traction with it that they want.
And do you think, I mean, this is the interesting point, Katie, do you think people will believe Trump when he says that the NHS is off the table?
Well, it was interesting that he said he never ever suggested it could be, when at one point he did clearly say on the record that everything was on the table in a UK-US trade deal. So I think you'll see lots of people pointing to that. And ultimately, for Labour, I don't think it's ever really been about whether or not they definitely think Donald Trump is about to try and put privatisation into a trade deal. There's lots of evidence to suggest that isn't the case, but it's about planting seeds of doubt. So I suspect, even though Donald Trump has been clear, it's not going to stop the Labour attacks on this. It's going to keep going. And you also have a few other points where perhaps Donald Trump could come under harder questioning over it. So one thing that's rumoured, but we don't have confirmed yet, is the idea that Donald Trump could be doing a television interview with Piers Morgan. Now, if you have that, I think that is a much more sustained level of questioning. And this is an unpredictable person. So I think a few answers, you know, saying it's an important election, I'm not going to give an opinion, I've never been interested in the NHS, you know, that's clearly the message that the Conservatives would like him to put out there. I think there is a still space when you have a longer conversation with someone you're perhaps relaxed with about what you say on those issues. Is that a point where Donald Trump starts talking about how unfair it is that Americans have to pay a higher level for some drugs than other parts of the world? Is that an avenue you go down? So from today, I don't think from today's brief press conference there's that much to weaponize, which is fresh for Labour, but I still think they will be hopeful they get more as the days go on.
Much more to it. I mean, you say that President Trump is behaving himself so far, James. Is there a risk that sort of his NHS comments today work against the Tories and that it puts sort of the NHS back on the news agenda again?
No, because I think Labour are going to put it on the agenda. And I mean, Labour will go on the offensive on this. I mean, you know, Jeremy Corbyn will be in the same banquet as Donald Trump tonight. You know, I wouldn't rule out an attempt for Corbyn to ask him questions there, for example. So I think the comments are helpful. I think Katie hit the nail on the head though, which is there is a difference here, right? Which is when Donald Trump hears about the NHS, he thinks, you know, do I want to kind of run your National Health Service? When what Labour are trying to ally that and the question of drug prices. Now, this has been a kind of constant source of frustration to the US, that the way that US medical research works is that you basically, your patents last for longer on your drugs, which is encourages companies to invest in research, finding cures to diseases and all this, because they get more return on that. They get very cross that other countries, the patents don't last as long, and so you get these things called generic drugs. They're kind of essentially, you know, drugs that do the same thing at a cheaper price. You know, when I lived in the States for 4 years, it was kind of constant issue was the US getting cross about the fact that people literally kind of drive into Canada, go to a pharmacy, pick up you know, a month or two's worth of drugs and drive back in, obviously saving themselves a lot of money. But, you know, and that this was all this, so all this stuff is obviously an issue. I personally think that Labour are going to carry on doing this because in their electoral strategy, this both rallies their base. Mm. Kind of the NHS is the kind of classic Labour clarion call. But it also it is designed, I think, to try and appeal to Labour leavers, to try and say, yes, you want Brexit, but do you want this kind of Brexit? And I think they desperately need to do that because at the moment, most of the polling is showing that about 10% of the Labour, somewhere between 8 and 10% of the Labour 2017 vote has shifted directly to the Tories. And they need to haul some of that back if they are to deny the Tories a majority.
I mean, and James, well, you mentioned rallying the base. Katie, I think historically we've seen Trump visits to the UK. We've also seen big protests. Do you think we'll expect to see them again this time? And do you think they'll sort of impact the election in any way?
I think there will be some form of protest, but ultimately Donald Trump has now visited a handful of times, and I think there is less, I suppose, energy towards opposing him than if you look at the first time. Ultimately, as James has said, it's helpful to Labour because they can really rally their base, and there are plenty of Conservative voters who aren't massive fans of Donald Trump, so see how the week goes out. But I think one of the things the Tories will try and be pushing this to is trying to not make it about Trump being in the UK, but trying to make it about the NATO summit. Mm. There is a NATO summit which is discussing the future security relations of, you know, large nations around the world. And I think that this is where the Tories think they should have some comfortable ground compared to Jeremy Corbyn. So one thing you're seeing today is people digging out, you know, old comments of Jeremy Corbyn criticising NATO.
He's not a fan.
Exactly. And I think that this is always going to be the security week for the Tories, whether or not they're actively campaigning while it's happening. The message they are trying to push is, you know, Boris Johnson is statesmanlike, Boris Johnson can be trusted with national security. You also have the Friday London Bridge attack, which also plays into that. But the Conservatives think that where I think that perhaps they think they can even receive a boost is on security and how that plays into the idea who is likely to be the best Prime Minister. Now, we have seen a tightening of the polls over the weekend. We have seen the Lib Dem vote going into the Labour vote. But as of yet, we have not seen Jeremy Corbyn getting too close to Boris Johnson on the question who do you think would make the best candidate for Prime Minister. Mm. I think that were that to start to get close, that's when CCHQ would get particularly worried, because there's a view that that's a metric which actually gives you the most reliable indicator of an election result. Mm.
James, do you think the Tory sort of attacks on security and Corbyn's stances, do they have cut through with voters, do you think? Because
I think they probably don't have as much cut through with voters as the Tories would like them to. I don't think these are not kind of Cold War era elections where Labour's association with CND was kind of toxic to it. I do think that kind of Corbyn as Prime Minister, as Katie was saying, that is a Tory Trump card. I mean, I'm sorry. That helps the Tories. I mean, Boris Johnson still has a 20-point lead on that question. I mean, the interesting question in terms of voter behaviour is, do those voters who are going to vote tactically for Labour in the hope of getting a hung parliament, do they think that means voting for Corbyn as Prime Minister or not? We constantly on this podcast discuss how like or unlike 2017 things are. And I think one big difference is in 2017, no one really discussed the possibility of either Prime Minister Corbyn or a hung parliament. The fact we are discussing it, I think, does slightly shift the dynamics of this election.
And Katie just mentioned sort of the tightening of the polls. James, just before we were recording, you sort of mentioned maybe things are not completely dire for the Tories. Do you want to sort of say a bit why?
Look, we'll have to wait and see a bit more, but the last two polls we've seen haven't seen any further shrinkage in the Tory lead. I mean, there is. I think one of the things we have to realise is there's obviously this big, there is unmistakably was some tightening in the polls for essentially the reasons that Katie set out so cogently about the Lib Dem vote going down into the Labour vote. And the big worry for the Tories is, where is the floor of the Lib Dem vote? How much further can that fall? But I think the positive thing for the Tories is that I think their closing message in the last week of a campaign is fairly strong, which is, you know, do you want next year to be even more dominated by Brexit than this year has been? Do you want a second referendum, or do you want to get Brexit done? Do you want the Scottish Nationalists holding the balance of power? And I also think the Tories have held back most of their money to be spent in that final week. And I think you also are just beginning to see the Tory direct mail go out at the moment. You know, look at these letters from Ian Austin to voters. You know, again, and all campaigns say this, but I'm told that this is a particularly sophisticated Tory effort where they've kind of segmented the electorate. So the Ian Austin letter is going to people who used to vote Labour in the past, who might be sympathetic to Ian Austin's analysis of why Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party is not the Labour Party that these people used to vote for, and the like. So we wait and see on all that. But I think, you know, I think is a hung parliament a possibility? Yes, it is. But I still think that the most likely result right now is a slim Tory majority. And I think Anthony Wells makes the pollster Anthony Wells, who works for YouGov, makes a good point, which is, you know, those people thinking that, because in 2017 the polls underestimated Labour, they must do so again. The pollsters have taken steps to try and correct that. Now, that doesn't mean they have entirely solved the problem, but it would be an even bigger polling fail than usual if they managed to make the same mistake again, because they've taken active steps to try and mean that they more accurately get the size of a Labour vote.
I think the trouble is there have been many polling mistakes over the past couple of years. So, and every time you're told, technology's improved, we've revised our model. Also, if you look at the various polling companies that tend to get right in each election, it's not necessarily consecutive that it carries on until the next election. So it's interesting, we're all very focused on the YouGov MRP model now. As a regular guest on this podcast, Marcus Roberts, every election, obviously value their insight. But there is a chance, clearly, and we hope YouGov keep coming on, that they got a bit lucky last time. And actually, they're not as close as you think. So I think this is all why, also given how tight things are in some of those seats, it's just hard for anyone to feel too confident about what's going to happen. I think when you speak to MPs on the ground, a less complex technologically advanced method of doing it, I would say that Conservative MPs in the Midlands and the North feel particularly confident, and Labour activists feel particularly deflated. Right. So that gives you some indication of how it's landing. But it just doesn't take that much, particularly with factors outside the Conservatives' control, for this to go from a fairly comfortable majority to a hung parliament where the Tories don't have any friends. Mm.
And it is worth remembering that the line between success and failure for Theresa May, it still wouldn't have been a great result for her to come back with a tiny majority. But, you know, I think it's a few thousand votes going the other way, and she would have had a majority. She wouldn't have needed the DUP. So, you know, obviously this is going to be a tight election. But I think it is worth noting that it is not as tight as 2017 was at this same point in the cycle.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, James. And thank you for listening. And if you're looking for something fun to do in the new year, The Spectator will be hosting a Coffee House Shots live event on the 29th of January. You can hear Fraser, Katie and James discuss the politics and the year ahead at the Emmanuel Centre in London. Tickets are at spectator.co.uk/live-shots.